All right, fans, we're back here on this Saturday night talking some baseball with you, and part of this show that we enjoy every Saturday, and that is bring an author with a wonderful book to everyone, and it's usually about baseball and some part of baseball, and maybe even America as well, and this one is both. It's called The Called Shot, Babe Ruth, the Chicago Cubs, and the Unforgettable Major League Baseball Season of 1932. The author is Thomas Wolfe. Now, I could tell you a little bit about Thomas Wolfe, but it would take me about three pages to do that, to give you his writing background. But he's a Master of Fine Arts in Fiction Writing from the University of Iowa, a Bachelor of Arts degree as well from Knox College. And as I say, when I read this book, Tom, which I'm really enjoying, which we're going to talk about how it came together for you and why, I feel like I'm almost watching a Turner Classic movie with all the moving parts that led up to this 1932 famous called shot by Babe Ruth that will go on forever, whether he said, I'm going to hit it out or not. He did hit the Charlie Root pitch into the center field bleachers, and it's called The Called Shot. A very exciting time for baseball, 1932. A very interesting part of this country. So with that backdrop, we welcome you to the show.
Thank you, Marty. I'm glad to be here.
Tell us a little bit about the book. I've given a little bit of my background on it. It's the 1932 baseball season. It has so many twists and turns to it in a baseball season, but also about life in Chicago and even with Al Capone. So go ahead.
Yeah. When I started researching the book, I realized that there was a bigger story than just the baseball season itself. You know, baseball season is larger than the 1,200 box scores that are generated during a season. And 1932 was a fantastic and important year in national history. Prohibition was ending. We were in the midst of the Great Depression. World War I veterans, the bonus marchers, were protesting and camped out in Washington, D.C. And in the midst of this, there was a baseball season played, which was one of the best, I think, in all of baseball history. We had some great teams, some great pennant races, and great stories throughout the season.
I guess the focal point of 1932 in that World Series, it's the Cubs and the New York Yankees, the powerful Yankees, running this wild winning streak in the World Series right up into 1932, is Babe Ruth and what we call the called shot. And I think that's really the heart of what the title is all about, but there's so much more that goes with it. But let's talk about that seminal moment for the book when Ruth does knock it out.
Yeah. Well, the Cubs had a long and sort of torturous road to get to the World Series. Their manager was fired. Their shortstop was shot by his girlfriend. But somehow the Cubs prevailed and made it to the World Series. The Yankees, on the other hand, after losing out 3 years in a row to the Philadelphia Athletics, were able to beat out the Athletics for the American League pennant. And the 32 Yankees really stack up against pretty much every major league team. Arguably, I would say that they're the second best team to the 27 Yankees. So the Yankees and Cubs were competing for the World Championship in the World Series. The Yankees won the first two games at home. And then game three was played October 1st in Wrigley Field. And that's when Ruth provided this this moment for us to discuss nearly 100 years later, the so-called or called shot.
Well, it's interesting what led up to it, because the Cub bench was all over Babe Ruth. And this is where the controversy starts, what he's saying back to the Cub bench, because there was bad blood between the Cubs and the Yankees going back to Mark Koenig, who was a shortstop, and he was part of the 27 Yankees, and he also played, believe it or not, for the San Francisco Mission Reds. And when Billy Jurgis, the shortstop for the Cubs, was shot by his girlfriend, Violet, during this 1932 season, the Cubs needed another shortstop, and they reached down to the San Francisco Mission Reds and got Mark Koenig. However, when it came time to divvy up the World Series shares, Koenig didn't get much of a share, and his Yankee teammates were very upset. And that's kind of the heart that goes beyond what was going on between Ruth and the ball club and the bench and all that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And Koenig was, you know, just knocking the cover off the ball out on the Pacific Coast. I think he was second in the league when the Cubs acquired him in August. And then Koenig played a really key role in the Cubs pennant race during August and going into the World Series. But as you say, the two holdouts from the Chicago Cubs in terms of giving Koenig a full share of the World Series money were Billy Gergis, his fellow shortstop, who he replaced, and the rookie second baseman, Billy Herman. So, yeah, the Yankees took advantage of this. You know, Koenig had been their teammate in 1927, and they got on the Cubs, and the Cubs got right back on them. And so when the series moved to Wrigley Field and Chicago, pretty much not only the Cubs, but 50,000 fans at Wrigley Field were all hooting and hollering and yelling at Ruth and the Yankees, throwing lemons on the field. So the particular at-bat where Ruth does hit the called shot is an at-bat full of drama. 50,000 people watching. Franklin Roosevelt was there. Mayor Anton Cermak of Chicago was there. The Commissioner of Baseball, Judge Landis, was there. The future Supreme Court Justice, John Paul Stevens, was there. He was an 11-year-old. So in the midst of this incredible scene, Ruth was somehow able to respond to the jeers and catcalling, and also at the same time stay focused enough to hit this home run off Charlie Root. And the question, of course, is did he call his shot or not, and exactly what do we mean by calling your shot?
Well, he took two pitches, didn't swing, had two strikes, and he holds up his finger and sort of points maybe near center field. Who knows? And the next pitch, he hits, wallops it just over everything into the center field bleachers. And we've seen that grainy film of running around the bases and the Babe Ruth trot, sort of yelling and screaming and pointing at everybody as he's doing it. So it's a great baseball moment. And the part of the book that I really like, and, of course, the Billy Gergis story, which is very similar to what happened in The Natural in the movie. You've got that part of it. But being a Chicago Cub fan in Chicago in that era of Prohibition and everything else that was going on, you touch upon John Dillinger, Alabama Pitts. These legendary names of prisoners and, of course, of gangsters and Jack Ruby and things like that. That's the part, those chapters I read and go, wow, that's what being a Cub fan was like. It really went into the prisons as well. So touch on that just a little bit.
Yeah, well, Chicago is kind of at the center of this book because so much of what happened that was dramatic in 1932 occurred in Chicago. The baseball, of course, on the field and Ruth's called shot at Wrigley Field and shooting of Billy Gergis, which was right down the just a few blocks away from Wrigley Field. But Chicago had gone through quite an exciting time in the 1920s and had just kind of come out of an era in which gangsters were pretty much running the city. The city was kind of cleaned up by 1932, but the remnants of it, Al Capone, for example, were still there. And Capone had actually gone to prison in 1931. And Capone was a Cubs fan, so I'm sure that while he was in prison, he was following his favorite team, and that's of course part of the story and part of the drama of that year, and that I tried to capture in the book. And you also mentioned John Dillinger, Alabama Pitts, Piggy Sands, who were all outstanding prison baseball players, and I have included some material in the book about prison baseball. Dillinger, actually, if he hadn't turned to a life of crime, might have been a major leaguer. He was apparently a very, very good and hard-hitting shortstop. So I tried to integrate some of that material about society at large and sort of what was happening in American history, and a lot of it was related to Chicago.
Well, that's what makes the story really fun. Not only is the pennant race, it's a tough pennant race with the Cubs and the Giants until the Cubs put the Giants away, But we've got that pennant race. We've got the Billy Jurgis incident of him being shot. We've got prison baseball. We've got Al Capone and radios in prison and everything else. And as I say, it's like a Turner Classic movie that culminates with Babe Ruth hitting this home run. And I will say this, I did speak to Frankie Corsetti. And when Frankie was alive here, of course, they lived in Stockton, and he would come to the ballpark. And I did a show with him one day. I said, well, what happened? And he said, the big guy said, if they want to believe I called the shot, let them believe it. So so who knows what the truth is, but there's no doubt in my mind it was one of the most dramatic World Series moments ever. And that Ruth did take two strikes and said, I got one left. And he did point at Root, Charlie Root, and center field. And that is exactly where he put the ball. So when the legend is the legend, and let's let the legend tell the story. So I'll go with the legend.
Yeah, it's as you say, it's such an incomparable moment in sort of baseball history and American folklore that one wants to believe it, whether it happened or not, or exactly how it happened. And the videos, definitely show Ruth pointing. And my guess is that every time Ruth went to bat, all 8,000 or 9,000 times in his career, he was thinking home run. So I don't think there was any question in Ruth's mind that what he wanted to do was hit a home run off Charlie Root and quiet the Cubs and the Cubs bench and the Cubs fans. I think one of the remarkable things about the story is that the main antagonist from the Cubs in the Cubs dugout was a pitcher named Guy Bush, who was up on the top step like he was going to charge at Ruth, yelling insults at Ruth during the at-bat. And Bush later said, this was 20 or 30 years later, said that he had as good a view as anybody, and in his opinion, Ruth did call his shot.
Ah, great. Well, Joe McCarthy, the manager, takes over for Rogers Hornsby for the Cubs, and of course they end up winning the pennant. Well, Rogers Hornsby is gone, and of course McCarthy does, but he's a Yankee manager as well in his career. But for Joe McCarthy, some vindication as well.
Right. Yeah, McCarthy had basically been fired or pushed out as the Cubs manager and replaced by Hornsby. So when McCarthy went to the Yankees, he was kind of restarting his career. And this was the first of his many World Series triumphs as a manager of the Yankees. And he won it at Wrigley Field. So he was still pretty well liked by Cubs fans. But to win that first World Series championship for his Yankees must have felt really sweet for McCarthy.
Well, I like his quote.
I mean, as it did and where it did. Yeah.
Yeah, I like his quote after the third game. He said, boys, just bring your bags to the park tomorrow. We're going home after the game. And that was his quote. Well, it's a great book. It's a lot of fun. As you could tell, I had a lot of fun reading it. I'm still not finished with it. But we have the Book Tree up in Montclair, which is an independent bookstore. And I'm sure it's available at all other sites. So I'm happy to have you on, and I wish you the best with the book.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed talking to you about it. This is a great moment in baseball history and needs to be relived.
Well, you're a very experienced writer, I will tell you that. You're my new go-to answer on Jeopardy. When I don't know the name of the writer, I'm going to say Thomas Wolfe, because you've got quite a lot of experience. You've written a lot of baseball as well. So congratulations with it. It's a lot of fun. The Called Shot by Thomas Wolfe, W-O-L-F. Tom, thanks for being with us, and we'll catch up with you again.
Okay, thanks a lot, Marty.
All right. More coming up, KMBR 680-1045, the sports leader.